Today is the first day of Sail Portsmouth, a four-day festival of tall ships on New Hampshire's seacoast. One of the featured ships in this year's festival is called the Pride of Baltimore II. It's a recreation of a topsail schooner that served as a privateer ship in the War of 1812. The term privateer sounds odd today. Why wouldn't the country just use naval ships? But in the early 19th century, America was led by the Revolutionary War generation, and they were very opposed to having a large standing military. They worried troops could become the personal army of whichever person or faction was in power. The problem was, in 1812, President James Madison convinced Congress to declare war against the British. And when you're at war, you kind of need an army and a navy.
When we declare war on England in 1812, they have 1,048 ships in the British Navy, and we have 17.
That's J. Dennis Robinson, an author and historian at SeacoastNH.com. He wrote about a tall ship similar to the Pride of Baltimore in his book America's Privateer, Links and the War of 1812. He says privateer ships were the naval version of militias, private citizens called into service during a national emergency.
If you remember John Adams, he says privateering, that's the answer. He calls it a short, easy, infallible method of humbling the British.
It might sound a little audacious to think that private lobster boats and merchant ships could take down the largest naval power in the world. Fortunately for the Americans, the British stayed mostly focused on European turmoil and didn't put their full might into the war. And the few American ships that were equipped for battle did very well. Most famously, the USS Constitution, christened Old Ironsides after a British vessel fired on the Constitution and the cannonballs bounced off its hull. The privateers were used to essentially hijack British supply ships. Technically, these weren't pirate ships because they had official government backing, but the idea was pretty much the same. The privateers raided British ships before they could resupply their troops and then took away the booty. J. Dennis Robinson says a number of New Hampshire families made their fortunes in part from privateering work, but he says many others were concerned privateers would end up hurting the economy.
People in Portsmouth were completely freaked out. I mean, most of New England was against what was called Mr. Madison's War. The New Englanders had already been beaten into the ground by embargoes. We couldn't take our ships anywhere. Our sailors were being captured by the British, and we did not want to go into a war in which shipping would be just shut down. And as evidence of that, Daniel Webster, who at that time was living in Portsmouth, made a speech in Brentwood, New Hampshire, in which he suggested that we, New England, secede from the United States.
Webster's speech was so well received that he wound up winning a seat in Congress for the first time. It was the start of a hugely successful political career that's now best remembered for a speech in 1850, where he urged Southerners not to secede from the United States. But that's a story for another bicentennial. The privateers, J. Dennis Robinson says, were proving largely successful, too.
Privateering ships were annoying the heck out of the British. Think of it as kind of an army or navy of mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes that left 1,700 British merchant ships sunk, disabled, or otherwise looted. And by 1814, British forces decided to swat back at those mosquitoes by attacking Maryland, where many of the privateer ships were built or based. Ground troops stormed Washington, D.C. They burnt the White House and the U.S. Capitol, while President Madison and his government fled to Virginia. British ships sailed to Baltimore, bombarding Fort McHenry for 25 hours in what local poet Francis Scott Key called a perilous fight. Unable to take Baltimore or keep its star-spangled banner from waving, the British left the area and headed to New Orleans, where they were roundly defeated by American General Andrew Jackson just as the two countries decided to call an end to the war. And with that, the privateers went back to private work, as they were intended to do. Shortly after the war, the Pride of Baltimore, officially known as Chasseur, sailed to China and brought back tea and other goods to the U.S. It was eventually sold to the Spanish Royal Navy and renamed the Cazador. Over the last 200 years, privateer ships, much like the War of 1812 as a whole, have largely been forgotten. But history buffs and ship enthusiasts have remembered. And so today, a number of nonprofit groups operate replica ships, like the Pride of Baltimore II, sailing from town to town and telling the stories of the privateers in the War of 1812. J. Dennis Robinson sailed on the replica of the Lynx schooner as he was writing his book, even got to take part in a mock sea battle. And he says seeing the ships up close gave him a new appreciation for the privateers.
Here are these two ships swooping in on each other and firing their guns, blanks, luckily. You really get the sense of what an incredible mastery of sail it would take to run these ships in that time period. Lots of men, super speed, and tons of sails. They wrote back then that it looks like the schooners were just going to lift up into the sky and float away. They were like clouds.
This year's Sail Portsmouth Festival continues through Sunday. You can find more information at our website, nhpr.org.